Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Barling and Barrett on whatever subject we like. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'm joined by my good friend, veteran trial lawyer Manny Barling. Manny, hello.
Hi, Simon. How are you today? We're going to have a hot show today.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think it's going to be absolutely boring. None of our guests seem to have anything to say on the subject of politics. Would you like to introduce them?
Yes, I would. It's my last chance to get even with all of them. No, today we have our distinguished list. I'm going to start with John Perry, a libertarian who's going to espouse many viewpoints on Paul Ryan, who's our topic today. Is he good or is he not good for the Republican Party? And John will take just about any position he can, but he loves that libertarian position, so we're expecting a lot out of him today. And from the Midwest, we have Sam Moffey, who has joked with me that he'll vote for anyone who did not go to an Ivy League school. I imagine there are a great many people in this country who agree with you, Sam. So that's going to be an interesting thing to listen to today, too. So it's going to be a day of fiery discourse, and I'm looking forward to every moment of it. And, of course, we invited Peter Haven to the mix because Peter's the only one that's a voice of reason, and that's why we've nicknamed him that. We call him VOR, Voice of Reason. And Peter, we're really looking forward to you keeping us from killing each other today. And of course, our host, who stirs the pot better than anyone I know, the Honorable Simon Bayou Britt. You know, Simon, you are the one. You are the Bayou Brit of the southern section of our country, and we expect you to really bring it today.
Okay. I'm going to do something unusual and play a little musical interlude.
But not Sugar and Sugar again, I hope.
Just minding my own business. Now here you come again, filling me with mixed emotions. Will it ever end? Rain that's in my heart, douse this flame that's about to start. It's all water underneath a burning bridge.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't resist doing that.
Well, what's the symbolism of that one? For those of us who are not big country western singers, I'm not sure. Why'd you play it, Simon? What was your interest here?
It's just water under the burning bridge.
Okay.
Simon, I was ready to say third floor, please.
Well, you know, I'm gonna jump into this with a comment that'll just stir the pot because I really feel this way. We've all seen these stories published about how Paul Ryan basically fought good GM, plants saved in his hometown and what he went through and how he did it and how he eventually voted for the Bush, stimulus, which gave GM $18 million to save a plant near his place, which I admire and I think it's enviable. My problem with Paul Ryan is he's a hypocrite. He's a typical member of Congress. Says one thing, does another. Instead of being proud of all of this, he's got a new platform, so he denies it. So basically, every time I hear from this guy, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that, I wouldn't do that. But when it comes down to it, Paul Ryan's just like every other dishonest member of Congress. He would rather take money, help the people who live in his neighborhood, do whatever they want. And the difference between him and others is they admit it. He doesn't. So let's start there. Is he a liar or isn't he a liar? Is he telling the truth about basically how he handles his district, or is he just posturing for everybody to watch this television? Gentlemen, I know you love this guy, so who wants to jump in and defend him?
I'll defend him. He has a really nice mother.
Well, that's definitely a
I'll be glad to defend him, Simon.
John.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say it's good to be with you all in Alabama today.
Oh, we're not in Alabama.
Oh, that's right. It was Virginia. Okay. All right. I think I've mentioned this before. It's like you got to operate within the system that exists. And if you're not representing your constituents, the money is going to go somewhere else. For instance, if there's pork and special interests working within the system, if, to be pragmatic, which I would be, I would much rather return the money to my constituents in that system than let it all go to Barney Frank's district. So that's the system in which he operates. He's represented his constituents ably and brought back whatever he was allotted. And he's an honorable guy and pragmatic within the system, which we should all want. I would like to see him change the system to eliminate that type of thing, but until it isn't corrected, then he has no option but to represent his constituents in the ablest way he can. And that's just pragmatism, Mary. I would think you would appreciate that.
Well, I do appreciate it. What I don't appreciate about him is his constant denial that he's a pragmatist and that he will ultimately...
That's exactly what it is, and he wants to change the system so no one has access to that type of thing. But as long as it's there, why shouldn't he return the money to his constituents? Why let Harry Reid and Barney Frank steal it all?
Well, and by the way, what's wrong with Barney Frank's constituents? What have they done to you?
No, but I'm saying he's the type of guy who would take every penny he could. What did he say when he got those free trips to the Caribbean? Can I have rich friends? And then next thing you know, there's a port going back to that guy, his retirement community. That's just the way the system works, and you can't just say, well, I'm not going to help my constituents when the other guys are stealing everything they can.
Okay, so it's okay to rob a bank because others did it.
No, it's like we talked about a federal grant. If you don't take it, someone else will, Manny. Do you want GSA going to Hawaii on it or coming back to your constituents? It's an easy call to me. He's going to reform the system itself, so none of that will be possible.
So you really believe a congressman who represents about 4 million, or even less, probably about 2 million people at the most in his district, is going to sweep into Washington as the Vice President of the United States and change the course of human events? Is that what
I think he's energetic, eloquent, and enlightened, and I think he's going to restore dignity to the office of the Vice President, which we've had a bozo in there for the last 4 years.
We've had a bozo in there.
I'm enthusiastic about
Republican
this
weirdo
ticket.
From, what's his name, from Illinois, whose name I blotted out of my mind because it was so stupid. Who was Bush's vice president?
Dan Quayle.
Oh, Dan, I'm not so bright, Quayle. Yes.
Well, I got to weigh in on this one with a little defense of John. And the system stinks. I do agree that there should not even be pork. Because, you know, to me, that's just like the way they fund school systems here in Ohio. They do it by property taxes, and it has created a total inequity in the school systems around the state. But we do the same. The congressmen go there, they get a budget, and all they want to do is take the money and spend it on fruit flies, you know, mating things at the schools. They want the colleges named after them. They bring in stuff. They buy votes with it. They set up nonprofit development corporations that do nothing but pay themselves huge wages with grants and things of that nature. It's wrong. And Congressman Ryan is wrong for accepting it. There was only one congressman in the last 20 years who has not, a congressperson, excuse me. I want to be politically correct with Simon Cho. And that's Ron Paul. And Ron Paul never accepted any pork money, never went after any pork money, was consistently reelected from the district. So it can be done if you don't take it. But Paul has, and I find that as a fault, you know, but, you know, Manny, if we were going to, if that's the worst thing he's done, he's 100 times better than Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama.
Well, let's talk about Ron Paul for a moment, man.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Before we roast and toast the guy, I think we need to hear from our final panelist, Peter.
Oh, no. I have nothing to add to all this. They're all corrupt. It's always been corrupt. I have nothing to add to get so far. I'd like to hear what Manny was about to say. Let's delve into Ron Paul.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to score Ron Paul. I have great admiration for Ron Paul. I don't always agree with his foreign policy, but I do have great admiration for him, and I agree with you, Sam. If Ron Paul were running, which he isn't, I would have a different viewpoint. And when you start talking about what he believes and what he doesn't believe in terms of Paul Ryan, he has a whole host of things we'll get to in the show that trouble me. And my problem with him, and this is where I want to go to the heart of this. Essentially, we have a position from Romney where he has chosen a mate that basically appeals to the Tea Party in a way that I would describe as Obama selecting Jesse Jackson, an ultra-liberal, on his campaign, while here we have Romney selecting an ultra-liberal and ultra-conservative in his campaign, and the end result is neither one of them are appropriate to hold the office that they've been nominated for, so to speak. And the problem with Ryan is in addressing this issue with the Tea Party and finding somebody acceptable to him, Romney is destroying the moderates in the party. I'm a crossover voter. I vote both Republican and Democrat. I try to pick the best guy. I was a Reagan Republican. I did not like George Bush Jr., but who did? So at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of us in the middle that go Republican and Democrat, depending upon our feelings. Well, I speak for those people in the middle and ask Romney, how can we vote for you when you're appeasing a wing of your party that all of us who are in the middle don't like and don't agree to? And I throw that out to all of you. Has he alienated all of the moderates in his party, making it difficult for them to vote for him? I don't hear a volunteer anywhere.
I'll gladly speak up. I don't want to monopolize the air.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that because he's actually got a plan, Manny? I mean, whether you agree with it or not, all you moderates out there scream, I want to see some details. I want to see some plans. Obama gives us BS. Biden's been giving us BS since the day he was born. And all the other people who are in office. The Senate under Harry Reid has never even passed a budget in 4 years. Okay, Ryan and the Tea Partiers, or the people want to call them that, under Boehner, have passed the budget. Whether you like it or not, they got elected, they had a job to do, they passed the budget. They did put out ideas.
Right.
They do have details. The Democratic Party has offered nothing but Romney killed my wife, Ryan's got to kill Medicare, what was Biden's big line? He's going to put you back in chains?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Where's their plan? They've had nothing but a slogan for 4 years. That's been it. And what's happened to the country? What I don't like, and what moderates shouldn't like, is the Democratic Party has monopolized the sound bites. And not that the Republicans are just as guilty of it, but no one's talking about we had 31 Americans killed in Afghanistan last week. The housing market is still a mess. We can go on and on. We've got this. Now we'll finally have a debate. Because Paul Ryan was picked, people are actually talking about Medicaid now. Mm-hmm. I think Romney did a great idea. I think it was a bold stroke because he's made this to be a campaign about issues, not about who's hope and change versus, change and hope. And that's why I think moderates ought to be very attracted to this. So let's see what the Democrats' plan is going to be, other than attack saying, this is Obama, and I'll end it on this. Obama and Biden and all their allies, whole plan is we don't like Paul Ryan's plan. Paul Ryan has a plan, and I respect that.
Well, wait a minute.
You,
first
Sam.
Of all, Romney has spaced himself away and saying he isn't supporting Paul Ryan's plan. He's got a plan of his own. So I don't know. And by the way, I'm amazed that you're telling me that somehow or another these guys have advanced some huge amount of plans when most of us go, what's your plan, Romney? Because I've never heard one from him.
Here's the book laid out. I don't agree with everything Mitt Romney stands for. Okay, not at all, by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I don't agree with everything Paul Ryan stands for. But I don't think the Kool-Aid from the Republican Party, I don't think the Kool-Aid from the Democratic Party. Unfortunately, too many people do that. And, I mean, a friend of mine told me a joke Friday night. He goes, hey, I heard Biden was dropped from the ticket and replaced by MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, and then, you know, and it's funny, but it's true.
It is funny. I love it.
But, you know, that's what's going on. The whole media is backing up that. You know, and when that ad ran, Romney killed my wife, if that doesn't sum up how low this election has been and is going to get, I don't know what else did. And David Axelrod, he might as well be a paid advisor for the MSNBC, CSNBC, and all those other things that he's always on. And I've never seen so many people involved in a campaign out there more than the candidates themselves. And who am I electing,
okay.
David Axelrod or Barack Obama?
I have to
ask the question, you know, are we being faced with unfair adverts?
Well, I think that every election is full of unfair adverts. I don't know which party annoys me most with it. You know, it's reached a point where, as Sam is pointing out, each election's getting nastier and dirtier, and this one may break records for viciousness. It really
no question.
Hey, Sam, let me ask you, being from the heartland, I believe America might be ready for an adult conversation on some serious issues. And, you know, in years past, someone like Ryan with integrity and honor, it's held against them because politicians who tell the truth, it's a lonely and costly luxury. I mean, I think we're ready to really discuss the economy. And really, the only thing Obama economizes with is the truth. But people are generally interested in four things, not economic statistics and theories. All most people want, notwithstanding this show, of course, is decent housing, better food, higher wages, and safe streets. Beyond that, people don't really pay attention. And this guy's been a dismal failure. If you look at his two main economic advisors, not including Tiny Tim Geithner, Christina Romer and Austin Goolsbee, they implemented this stimulus package and they sprinted back to academia because they found out it's a lot easier to critique economic theory than implement it. And this entire administration is devoid of anybody with any kind of economic experience or sense. And if you guys like the way things have gone the last 4 years, double down four more. How's that for you?
Nice argument, John.
So this is the first election since '92 when we've had an incumbent president is in the position of asking not only for a second term but also for a second chance. You know what I mean? That's what I look at this. Give me a second chance. You know, this is that's what killed Bush. You know, he was screwed up, so Bush won, you know, and he got beat by Clinton because Clinton and Gore offered that. There was a referendum on Bush. The economy.
Well, you know
bad.
Why, Sam? You're forgetting Ross Perot. If there was no Ross Perot, he would have won re-election.
Yeah, but he did. But you know, I love that sort of stuff, John, but Perot was there, and I voted for Perot. I would have voted for Clinton over Bush. My vote wouldn't have went to Bush. It would have went to Clinton in 92. So I kind of disagree with that, but that's my own personal feeling. But you know,
well, I agree. You know, why don't you go far back to John's idol, Ronald Reagan? He wouldn't have been elected if Anderson hadn't run. So this is part, and Nixon wouldn't have been elected if George Wallace hadn't run.
And they can all say that, but we know this year, Ron Paul isn't running as a third party, which probably would have definitely given the election to Obama. I'm no question about it. I think it's a libertarian out there. There'll be 50 people on the, when we all go to vote, there'll be 50 presidential candidates out there, half, 47 of them we've never heard of before. And it comes down, you know, there'll be no Ralph Nader that's going to hurt Obama. This is between the two major, this is the first, this is the first two guys are going to slug it out toe-to-toe. And does Obama deserve a second chance? What has he done? I mean, other than what he killed Bin Laden. He didn't do it. He gave the order. Okay. The unemployment rate is terrible. And it's worse than 2.2%. I think we all agree with that.
Right.
Well, no, it's almost double that.
Right. Okay. So no one wants to admit that, and that's a big issue. And I think what John just said is true. And that's why I applaud Ryan.
Oh, thanks.
Let's
Sam.
Talk the issues.
Let's have an adult conversation.
We got to wean the American people off this, the Kardashians and who should be the third string quarterback for the Oakland Raiders over the who they should keep and that's what everyone is focusing on.
And Sam, aren't you tired of politicians breaking into perceived black dialect or idiom to think they have to be understood for the audience, like Biden saying y'all are going to be back in chains? How patronizing is that? That's the kind of discussion we're having.
Sarah Palin, Manny, Simon, Pete, what would have happened to her? Or any Republican would have said something like that. How about the double standards in the media? That's incredible. It's just, you know, and it's proof, I think, if you look at the ratings. And, I have to do some – I buy advertising for my bar locally, okay? And you know what? On cable, I can't afford ABC, CBS, NBC, the 6 o'clock news. Those are the most watched upon items. So you go to cable, which is a lot cheaper for me. They almost give you MSNBC. And I live in a very, as you know, Manny, a very liberal, democratic union stronghold. You would think MSNBC is the most watched cable news network in this area. It is not. It's Fox News.
You know, I find that interesting. My experience is, although everyone tells me that's been quite the opposite, I've never met a liberal when I was in Youngstown area, and I've spent more time than any human being should be.
What about James Traficant, Manny?
I was thinking of him earlier when he was going on about Drew Grafton and corruption in Ohio. I must tell you, Sam, one of my favorite moments in life was when the town of Warren threw that wonderful Traficant Day, and they all wore wigs, rugs, and celebrated. Do you remember that?
Yep.
It is a commentary on where you know the politics around where you live, which are really unique.
Believe me, it's the land that time forgot because of our political system.
And by the way, I am not a fan of Obama's. I'm upset with Obama about a great many things. But I'm also equally concerned that the policies I hear from the Republicans won't work. And I'll tell you where something for you to consider when I listen to this argument. If he is successful in cutting back the government the way the Tea Partiers would like him to do, one of the things that he doesn't factor in is the fact that several million government employees will be laid off and will be immediately on unemployment. And the very act that he's purporting will help solve problems will almost immediately create problems. And that's problem number one with it. Number two is, I know I speak for a great many seniors who laugh at his position on Medicare. And I'll tell you why. First of all, this offer, in his plan, there's a stipend for people of $7,000 a year, I believe it is. It's $8,000. And you can go buy your own health insurance. Well, my health insurance was about $1,800 a month, and my wife's was about, I think it was $1,200 when I went on Social Security. What good would that money do me? I can't buy health insurance for that. Yeah, neither can anyone else I talk to, and I know Sam pays much more than that for my conversations with him, too. So I see that as the first fail policy before he even gets out the door. So anyway, these are things that alarm me, is that forget him for a moment about your feelings about Obama. I don't like him either, but I don't want to replace him with a village idiot either. And I believe that Paul Ryan, who represents a very small portion of our country who have some very unique viewpoints. According to John, his viewpoints don't work, and history has proved they don't. Clearly don't work.
Okay. I obviously have to ask our voice of reason. Do you buy into any of this?
I buy into all of it. I think that what Sam said was very accurate about the mindset of the American electorate and what they pay attention to and what they don't pay attention to. And having said all of that, I just don't see how this Republican ticket is electable in today's world. I just don't see it. I see it as just another version of Sarah Palin, and I don't even remember who her running mate was. I see it as a snowball's chance once again.
Yeah, and Sarah Palin probably was a particularly poor choice.
Ironic is
I can see Russia from my bedroom window.
I wanted to ask. I actually almost asked Sam that this morning because I thought maybe this new vision of politics would allow him to see Russia.
Well, let's see. I'm looking on a bio website for Paul Ryan, and I don't know if this is accurate, but it appears to be from U.S. conservatives. It says, on abortion, has a 100% voting record with the National Right to Life Committee, so I assume he's anti-abortion. Voted against allowing embryonic stem cell research, voted against the transportation of minors across state lines for abortions. Okay, so he's got a clear record on abortion. Immigration. Voted in favor of building a fence along the Mexican border. Voted in favor of extending immigrant residency rules. Voted in favor of comprehensive immigration reform without amnesty. Civil rights, it says he voted in favor of prohibiting job discrimination based on sexual orientation. So that means he's in favor, according to this, of discriminating against people based on sexual orientation. Voted to protect the Pledge of Allegiance, of course, expressed support for amendments to ban flag desecration. Voted to ban gay adoptions in Washington, voted to constitutionally define marriage as solely between a man and a woman, voted to reduce the marriage tax, blah, 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 and has an A rating with the National Rifle Association. Voted to decrease gun waiting periods from 3 days to one, voted to prevent gun makers, gun manufacturers, and gun sellers from being sued for gun misuse. Well, I think he's lost the Hispanic vote, if those are his positions. I think he's lost the gay vote, if those are his positions. I'm not sure how it breaks down on gender lines with respect to abortion, but I would assume that women don't want to vote for a guy with this abortion record. That's my assumption. Maybe I'm wrong. So, it just seems like another pick by the Republican ticket trying to interject energy and controversy and spark a campaign, which to my ears always smacks of a bit of a desperation move. And maybe I'm completely off base, but I just don't see the ticket getting elected.
You mean like when they elected that third-rate actor?
Which one is that, Reagan or who?
Yeah, I'm
who
bowing
we
my
about?
Head now.
Which actor are we talking about?
When people like you were saying you elected a third-rate actor, he'll never win.
I'm just not clear what we're talking about. Are we talking about Reagan?
Yeah, I'm bowing my head in honor.
I wasn't making any comments about Reagan.
No, but we heard the
and
same thing when Reagan was running. Oh, he'll never win. He's a radical.
But hearing the same stories, my
we always do.
Barry
Goldwater
was on the ticket.
Well, Reagan was a governor of the state of California, so you couldn't say that he wasn't electable.
He wasn't electable.
Well, okay. Obviously, whoever said that was wrong. But whoever I don't think you can compare Reagan to a young Republican congressman from Wisconsin.
That surprises me because most of the people on the left thought Reagan was a complete idiot, like we think of Biden.
Well,
no,
being
I,
a complete,
no, no, no.
Being
anyone
a,
who knew Ronald Reagan thought he was a complete idiot, because if you, unlike
you, know
you
I mean?
who glorify this guy, those of us who were raised on it, and some of us who knew him personally, like me, thought he was a raging idiot, and I'll never change my view. But you also have to remember that Ronald Reagan also had trouble winning California. That's how little people in California thought of him.
But, Manny, don't liberals always say, oh, they're electing a radical, he could never win? And
well,
Reagan
that's
did.
What... No, no, conservatives, everybody does. Conservatives say the same thing.
We're not saying that, not at all. We're in two
enterprise. Here's our
problem. Oh, yeah, like you didn't view Obama as a radical when he was running. Give me a break.
No, I'm talking about Ryan. Of course, when Obama was running, it was pointed out he spent 20 years in the pews of Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church.
Uh-huh.
And the Never people on the left said, oh, he was asleep. He didn't pay attention to that anti-Semitism or anti-American... Americanism, that's not important. He was given a complete pass. And as far as Biden, I'm reminded of your generation, Manny, from the 60s. You know how you guys always thought the elder generation was senile? They think that of us now because of him.
They think
and
that
I,
about
I want
us.
To walk up to him and say, I want to say, bro, pull the plug, because a brain's like a parachute. It's only functional when it's open.
You know, John, many people I know have said the same about you.
You know, Peter,
only
bring
people
up,
close to
you
me.
You guys
Manny.
Bring up some
and
great I, points.
And by the way, I've said it a few times myself at lunch, if you recall.
We got to get away from
And also,
this.
One more thing about Obama and Biden. When I'm watching them, I'm reminded of the saying, every time he opens his mouth, he subtracts from the sum of human knowledge. And that's how insulting their rhetoric is.
We've got to get away from this focusing on the social issues, because the way this country's heading economically, it doesn't matter if you're gay, white, black, green, Hispanic, Jew, Gentile, or whatnot. We're all going to be living in a Weimar Republic circa 21st century if we do not get our hands around government and the control of the spending.
And why are we dealing with this? We're dealing with this because a Republican president named G.W. went out and started a silly war and then spent half of the United States Treasury on a war that has done us no good, that will ultimately end, as all of these proxy wars do, with a radical government taking over, because there's no way you can stop it. And for that, he pilfered the coffers of our economy to benefit all of his friends in the defense field. And now we're all paying for it.
Why didn't
so
Obama
you now want that? Us to vote in another Republican who has that same theory.
Wait a minute. Obama got beat Hillary Clinton because he ran as the quote-unquote peace candidate, ran to her left, and increased Afghan, and has not only kept us, drew us out of Iraq, okay.
Afghanistan.
He's increased Afghanistan. He's increased drones killing innocent people in Pakistan. They're not hitting the targets.
Who says that the people being killed in Pakistan are innocent?
Well, I'm talking about sisters. I see little kids. I see pictures all the time. You know, little kids getting there. It reminds me of when I was a boy watching Walter Cronkite and seeing Vietnamese children running from napalm. I've seen drone attacks that have killed innocent Pakistani.
Well, Simon, a few months ago...
Wait a minute. So now you tell me George Bush, G.W., as everybody likes to call the idiot.
No,
you're
Bush
telling
man,
me here's a guy... Wait a minute. Here's a guy who's responsible for more than a million civilians dying in Iraq. I don't see you and have ever heard either of you say that about him.
I'll be the first one to tell you Bush is an idiot. I agree with you, okay? I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, the war in Iraq shouldn't have happened. The war in Afghanistan should have happened, and we should have left and never went back again.
Absolutely.
Americans are great conquerors and lousy occupiers.
Well, you can't
time occupy
in and time out. A country that's got a 5,000-year history of rejecting occupiers.
Right.
And, you know, I had this argument with John one day at lunch. I said, Bush was so stupid at even trying to get advice from the Russians, and John's response to me is, why do you want to get advice from a bunch of losers? Well, maybe you learned something about losing, John, and that's what Bush didn't learn. And he ended up losing not only where we were in the war, he destroyed our country and we're now having a fight today over how to solve a problem caused by the Republicans who want to put the same kind of Republicans back into office. And that scares the heck out of
them. Well, let's take it one step further, Manny. It's not just the lousy foreign policy done by Bush and carried on by Mr. Obama. The military-industrial complex is alive and well in both parties. It is also the bailout, the failed bailout of General Motors by Obama to save the United Auto Workers. And talk about the biggest theft in American history is what happened to GM in that bankruptcy. Talk about how Obama and Geithner have destroyed homeownership under
Barney Frank.
Barney Frank,
he didn't destroy
all of them.
Wait a minute.
Obama and Geithner favor the banks and the mortgage service companies and not the homeowners. That's a fact. Read Bailout by Neil Barofsky, who was in charge SIGTOT, Inspector in General, over that, and how he thought Bush and Paulson were terrible until he met Obama and Geithner. And they're still there. And we don't even know what happened with Geithner. Who manipulated the on whose watch has Wall Street been worse with, gotten away with more on? Bush put more white-collar criminals and Wall Street thieves in jail. Obama's put none. None. Zero have been prosecuted under him.
Right.
Why?
Well, there aren't too many left to prosecute.
None.
No, there's a lot there, Manny. How about
I got to correct you on a number of things. You're really wrong about a number of things. First of all, this all started in Bush's watch. Bush's Ponzi scheme with real estate in this country was awful.
Wrong. It happened under Bill Clinton. It happened under Clinton, and John brought it up.
And Bonnie, I complained
Freddie
about
Freddie
it under
Danny and Freddie Mac. Clinton started the whole ball of wax.
Yep.
And I complained just as much about what Clinton did. And the point is that Bush came along, and he saw an opportunity to fund his programs and keep himself out of trouble in the economy by allowing this to go on, and he thrived on it because they overlent money for the sole purpose of this money to be used to purchase goods by people who bought the house. So
Manny, he tried to curtail the practice. Barney Frank called him racist.
Oh, please.
Those liar loans were done by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And it's they started it. They all benefited from it. Republicans and Democrats.
I agree.
Anybody who stood up.
I agree. But the problem is that the Republicans are trying to somehow claim they aren't involved or somehow did not participate in that. And that's revisionist history.
I think they all listen. My thing. You got to remember, I supported Ron Paul. You know, you want to solve the problems. You break up all the big banks. You get rid of the wars. Legalize drugs. Legalize prostitution. Tax that. Healthcare is paid for. You get rid of all these phony wars. Build up Fortress America. Break up Wall Street. Break up all these big corporate giant multinationals, and bring back competition. The world's saved. But it's not going to happen unless we start a revolution
to do that. Sam, let me ask you, who did Obama and Biden say the first guy they go to when they need financial advice?
I would thought it would be Michelle Obama.
They said he's the smartest guy in the room, John Corzine. What happened to that MF Global? Why isn't he in jail?
MF Global.
Financial guy they know.
Well, don't forget, Goldman, one of the things we have to end, gentlemen and listening audience, is the revolving door between the Treasury Department and Wall Street.
I couldn't agree more.
That has to happen from both parties. And that's why I do – well, Manny, answer me this. Finally, Ron Paul got one signature piece of legislation done right before basically he's almost over because he's not running for re-election, to audit the Fed. It passed with a bipartisan support, one of the few things in the last 45 years – that had was to audit the Fed in the House. Harry Reid kills it in the Senate. Why is that? Why would the Democratic Party establishments like Pelosi and all the other ones who are part of the Obama administration fighting to audit the Fed? You would think the Democrats would want transparency, that the Republicans would be the one fighting to audit the Fed where all our money's gone. But it's the Democratic Party establishment that is. Why?
I don't agree with that. And again, you're missing the basic problem with all this. You started out saying that a problem in the United States is money. And what we have are corporate interests. And what happens basically is if you pass something in the House, then everybody rallies to the Senate and basically bribes politicians to vote against it.
And Harry, we won't even bring it up.
Wait a minute.
But,
just listen to me for a minute. When something, conversely, when something passes in the House, then they rally to the Senate to try and squash it in the Senate. So my point with all this is, and I've said it show after show, it doesn't matter who was elected president. What matters is solving our problems in Congress. And that's why I don't think much of Paul Ryan in terms of him solving anything, because he's not capable. The problem we have to solve is Congress, of which he's a big part of. So you want another member from Congress to start passing laws to stop Congress from making huge donations and altering what goes on in our country. That's where the problem is. It's not in there. When I hear John tell me how, oh, he's going to do this to change, and well, he isn't changing anything.
Give him a chance, Manny. You gave Obama one.
What do you mean, give him a chance?
Give him a chance. Let somebody else try.
Let's talk about someone whose name we're not bringing up. The guy who's never been in Washington, who's been a successful businessman, who we've never elected. Well, I shouldn't say never elected, but when's the last time we had somebody who was just a pure business person and the president of the United States? Does anybody know?
Yeah, Truman.
Truman, Harry Truman was a business. Was a failed businessman, wasn't he?
Well, no, man, he was in Congress.
But
if you want to hold against some failing in the middle of a depression, yes, he was a failure.
Right. Okay, but he was a great president. No question about it. Okay.
Well, I disagree with that.
But John thinks he was a horrible president.
I do. I back MacArthur.
Eugene. Well, you're in a minority.
Eugene, and not Joe.
I mean, you know, I got news for you. That's where, John, you show your weaknesses in politics. MacArthur was a fascist. If MacArthur had any, he would have taken over the country. He was,
how do
he
I
was
know my
John Alexander Haig before his time.
Okay, I'm going to break in here.
Why?
And just annoy the living daylights out of you. Peter, what do you think about all of this nonsense?
Wow, you're putting Peter to the test here, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Are you awake, Peter?
I'm sorry. I accidentally pressed the button. I was listening the whole time. I apologize.
Hey, Peter, are you eating a Snickers bar?
No, I wish I was,
though. Peter,
forgive
Peter,
me.
I want your honest opinion. We've got people from the left. We've got people from the right. I need sensible people like you.
I think everybody's sensible. That everybody has a very legitimate perspective for very legitimate reasons. I just feel like it's always the same thing every 4 years with a presidential election. You know, we talk about who causes the problems and how long these problems exist and where do we trace their real roots to. And I think we could debate that forever. I just always see the same kinds of debates every 4 years. And it seems to me that a lot of it is utterly beyond the control of most voters. And I think a lot of it's beyond the control of many people who are elected. And I do feel that the country will maintain its incumbent president. I don't think they're going to change. I think the sense, as far as what I've perceived, is that overall the economy is slightly getting better over the past 4 years, although that's just my perception. And I agree these wars were catastrophic drains on our economy and catastrophic drains on our culture. And the housing crisis was something that Obama inherited. We can debate where it all started. But, I can't see the country engaging in any dramatic change in November. I can't see it really altering its current trajectory, whatever that trajectory might be.
Good point.
Okay.
Okay, so if you inherit a mess, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I've inherited this mess. What has he done anything to clean it up with except bullshit his way around?
Well, let's talk about the housing crisis.
Definitely. I love to talk about the housing crisis.
Well, you know, to me, the housing crisis was something that built for decades. Who you want to blame it on, we could probably debate that.
Correct.
It seems to me the bubble burst in 07. If my math is correct, Obama was elected in 08. And the crisis was bad loans, just decades of bad loans, interest-only loans, people who shouldn't have gotten loans, people getting just tons and tons and tons of bad loans. And the prices were escalating and escalating and escalating. They were artificial. They were well above market value. And that's just classic economics. There has to be a correction. And the longer you wait for the correction, the longer you wait for it, the more it has to be. And the correction finally came, just masses of foreclosures. And, I don't think there's any way of correcting it other than letting it run its course. I don't think there's any way to salvage the mess.
But you don't think that – okay, so –
It just has to run its course.
That's economics 101, right? Don't let government interfere. Is that what you're saying?
Let
these big banks that are part of the problem, that were doing these credit swap derivatives, that were doing mortgage loans, that hired these mortgage services that lied, that did robo signing, and did anything they could. They all made money off it. The regulators looked the other way. So I think government, in this case, had an obligation, and Obama was handed a baseball, called a mandate, to do something about it. And from my own personal experience and helping others, they screwed it up. He had a chance to clean the mess up, and he's helped the banks and mortgage service companies make more money and put more people out on their asses. He has been him and Geithner have been terrible, and that HAMP program he has and all that stuff hasn't worked because it was designed not to work. So Obama had a chance to clean this mess up, the housing market mess, and he didn't. And for that alone, he should be kicked out of office.
Peter, I'd like to ask you a question. From what you and Manny are saying, Obama gets a pass from foreign policy because of Bush. The fact that more people have gone on permanent disability than have found jobs in the last 4 years gets a pass on that. Does he get a pass on gas and oil prices and natural gas because he didn't open up the Keystone Pipeline, or is he just a victim of circumstances there too, and we're going to have to pay $5 a gallon? Is that Bush's fault too?
Well, first of all, I haven't given him a pass on any of that. You're assuming we're all giving him a pass. You missed some very simple points. Have you turned on the news lately and noticed that a significant portion of our country is in a drought? Is having huge impacts on not only prices, but employment, people's lives.
Talking the last 4 years, Manny.
Well, no, we have not had this kind of drought the last 4 years. We've had a drought.
I'm talking about he gets a pass for – does he get a pass on gas prices too because he won't open up the Keystone Pipeline?
Attaching the politically hot Keystone Pipeline is not part of that answer. You just – because you support the pipeline – you somehow are attributing this all to him.
Yeah,
I don't
it's called
support
I Want
the
Jobs
pipeline.
For America and Lower Gas Prices. Of course I support it.
Oh, yeah, right. At the expense of the Mississippi, which is already struggling, and at the feather-bedding the greed of the Canadians, who are the ones who are going to make the most amount of money on it. And by the way, why do we have these problems? Let me offer you two seminal moments, because I'm the elder one in this group. Our first problem started when Congress decided to take all the Social Security money and devote it to paying for the war in Vietnam against the constant objections of my generation, who were then accused of being hippies because we were anti-war because they were taking all of our money and our futures, which is now disguised as kicking the can down the road. So whose can did they kick down the road? They kicked my can and my generation's and screwed us. Then item number two that really destroyed our company comes from your idol, Ronald Reagan, who refused to enforce antitrust laws and essentially did what you two want, which is unfettered capitalism. John's position is that unfettered capitalism and greedy corporations running around and controlling our company are better than the government doing it, and I contend that the 1880s damn near killed our country. And if you want riots, which I might point out started already around the world, Pakistan, China, South, you know, recently in South Africa. In India, they had one. They had to shut down a factory because labor felt so abused, they killed several people, attacked the place, and destroyed a number of it. So when you vote these guys in who have these policies, ask yourself, how long before we return to the 60s? You went around in the 60s to see the same atmosphere we have today cause riots in Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, and other places. You also missed the other types of riots. You probably don't realize that gay folk got up and rioted in Greenwich Village in New York because of the mistreatment. You have Saginaw, where a black man was shot 46 times, because a mentally ill one, because he had a knife in his hand. So these big, strong, brave police, of which John supports endlessly,
right,
could not stop a black man with a knife short of 46 bullets. And you wonder why we're going to have riots in this country? Because I'm telling you, my biggest fear is if you elect the people that you want, particularly Romney, then I can tell you right now, you better start asking yourself, how long before the rioting starts in the African-American communities over his policies? And there will be riots.
Hey, Manny, let me ask you real quick. Were you wearing puka shells back then?
No, I was the guy with the short hair with a wife and children working my butt off every day, but being accused of being a hippie because I fit into a certain age generation. And as I say to you all the time, John, you guys have not one clue about what that was all about. And
I do. I have all the brothers and sisters.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm pointing that to John, not you, Sam.
Yeah,
John,
well, yeah,
so John has these delusions about the 60s that are just amazing.
Well, Manny, you didn't like it when I called you Maynard G. Krebs.
Yeah, yeah. I did that just like I just said to you. You have no clue what you're talking about.
Hey, but Manny, I have to take, you know, I have to say something here. You know, you said if Romney's policies go in, there's going to be riots. Well, if Obama's policies continue to go with his crony communism, they call it crony capitalism, but it's crony communism, you will see less. There'll be less money to give because Obama's made it clear that he and his team pick who the winners are, or the government, and pick who the losers are. And they prop up these people with a lot of tax dollars, but a lot of it happened around here. And people who have been in businesses for years, never relied on any government intervention or whatnot, they've been hurting. They didn't get anything, but because they weren't politically connected or they didn't have the right, they didn't make the right campaign contribution, they didn't get any of this.
Hey, Sam, you don't
money.
Attend his $30,000 a plate fundraiser?
Yes, yes, they didn't get any stimulus money,
okay?
And by the way,
I
can point that out on behalf of my clients who I represented during the 90s, et cetera. You know, Bush Sr. and then Bush Jr. did the very same thing to others. And
right, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I want to end the whole – I don't want a Republican – I don't care who it is, a Republican or a Democrat, or I'd rather have a Libertarian, but that's not going to happen in this election. Or maybe it's the Know-Nothing Party that's going to make a comeback. But we need to change the way the system is because it's not going to be there for – I never thought I'd say it wouldn't be there. It's not going to be there for me. I'm 52. It's going to be bad. We're running out of money. Look what's happening in Europe. Look what's happening in Greece. History repeats itself over and over and over again. And we're running out of money. There's
do you
no
agree
more money
that right now we have an atmosphere reminiscent of what started World War One?
Right. Absolutely. It's right there.
Yeah, we look like the 1890s to 1910 with the labor uprising, the disagreements, and all the rest. And again, you know, Sam, I agree with absolutely everything that you say, except the solution is not in the presidential election. The solution is Americans need to get their back and vote in laws to stop Congress from, among other things, awarding themselves permanent pensions after one term and a variety of other things. We need to change Citizens United and stop corporations from being able to control our government by contributions. But if you think that's going to be solved by this election and putting Romney and him, it's not.
Well, you think we should stay with what we do, which we know is bad. If you're a level-headed thinking person,
horrible.
As everybody else on the panel is, if you think Obama and Biden, I have friends, deep into the libertarian movement, in the underground libertarian movement. You know what they almost, and I disagree with them on this, because I don't want to see America fail. I don't want to see riots. I don't want to see death, destruction, despair. And we see enough of that every day when we just open up the newspaper or read the or listen to television or whatnot. I have people who actually want Obama and Biden to get elected. They want Pelosi to come in and Harry Reid and throw in this ruined total socialistic government, which is what Obama stands for, and falls apart on its ass, and it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. In 2016, then the Libertarian Party, people will finally say, see what happens when government is run amok. Now it's time. Now we can dismantle the monster and have the changes that we need. And that's what America needs, that type of 2x4 right between the eyes.
Okay, I have to ask you the question. could you see Sarah Palin on the ticket? I think she'd be wonderful.
What are you ticket? Bored? You want someone else to pick on?
Nah. I can see Russia from my backyard. Yeah, it's just perfect. Is that the kind of person that you would want to run the country?
Couldn't be any worse, Simon.
I think Sarah Palin was a Hail Mary by McCain, a very desperate attempt, and it helped energize his base, and he would have got his ass kicked more if he didn't have her. That was it. She became a celebrity now, and that's all she is. And to Romney's credit, she's got no place at the convention.
I heard rumors her middle name is Kardashian. Is it true?
The what?
I heard her middle name is Kardashian. Is that true?
But, you got to give her credit, though.
I
think she deserves it. She deserved that. A lot of people have been nominated for vice president, and you never heard of them again, right? I've just never ever heard of them.
Is she doing now? What is she doing now?
She does whatever she can. I think she's on Fox, of course. Runs around endorsing people and this and that. But lately, I have not seen her that much, and I think that's on purpose. I think her brand of what she stands for is not going to sell with Mitt Romney. I mean, he's a then that's it. I think he's decided that. Look, Sarah Palin types are the ones that Simon is making fun of. They can't see Russia from Manny's pool, but they can. That's all they do know is not going to sell. And Paul Ryan's got some ideas, whether we like him or not. People are talking about Medicaid and Medicare need to be addressed. You guys, man, you forget more about Medicaid than I'll ever know. I know it's only been around since the 60s, right?
Yes, that was passed by Johnson in the wake of Kennedy's death. I would describe Medicaid and the rest of them as a symbol to Kennedy and to reward him because he fought hard for him, couldn't get him passed, and then everybody felt so guilty they voted him in.
Okay, well, it's probably a good thing, but I've never had to use it or whatnot. I know some people who have had. But what did people do from 1776 to 1963 before Medicaid was in?
For one thing, the cost of medicine was one-tenth of what it is today.
Aha.
You didn't have the chemicals. You didn't have the chemicals and other things in food that cause a level of illness. And one of my problems with all this is exactly that, is we're reaching a time where these big corporations are killing as many Americans as they possibly can. And in the wake of that, our medical costs have gone up dramatically. We didn't have dialysis problems back then. Now we have.
Right. So our thing is another government program with good intentions, okay, I think it was good intention, has been totally taken advantage of by the politicians, the corporations, and everyone linked into it, and now we all become dependent on it like addicts.
Yeah.
We're all dependent on it. Give me my Medicaid, even though we're going to bankrupt us. Give me my this, give me my that. No one wants to make any changes, and we're going to have to make tough changes because the party's over. Someone's got to stop paying for the bill. I'm for discussing whatever the best thing that's going to happen, that's going to make this a better country and have a proper safety net and this. But when I see the abuses, and we only know the tip of the iceberg of the abuses, when whistleblowers have the guts to stand up and say, here's what's wrong, and it gets no attention or any, but no one wants to talk about it.
Okay, Sam.
Yep.
I have to stop you.
Okay.
Give me an example of this huge abuse.
I don't know much about Medicare. Well, I tell you, I had a friend of mine who had a serious heart condition, okay? He was in the local hospital here for about a week, and he has health care and all this. And the emergency room was filled with people who are on Medicaid or on welfare or whatever, using it as their general practitioner, all screaming to get Oxycontin, all screaming to get serious drugs. Now, this is just a microorganism, and maybe it doesn't happen anywhere else. And then I did a little research and found out that's where they go. They fill up the emergency rooms with stuff that, because with ailments that don't require that sort of treatment. You got to go, go to the pharmacy and get your Tylenol if you got a headache. Don't go to the emergency room. Where did that? Who got educated on doing of that nature? I'm not a total expert.
Okay. So what you're effectively saying is you don't know anything.
I know a lot of stuff. I do know my family doctor told me that he in the last 5-6 years he has more people working for him doing coding to get paid and running around getting office help as opposed to having nurses and things of that nature to help treat people.
Well, let's discuss that.
That's
that. Because since that's been one of my specialties for 40 years, I can't pass this one up. And you get to portion one of our books, Sam, where I chronicle this for a long period in our history. And what happened is, I describe it in our books as medicine was a horse and a wagon. And what happened was, at some point, it became an issue where the doctors were driving this wagon, making too much money, and people going, oh, my doctor's playing golf, he's doing this, he's making too much money. Corporations looked around and said, oh, my God, it's so profitable, we can make some serious bucks. So they screamed and yelled, and everyone carried on. So they turned over medicine to business in the early 90s, something all of us predicted. I mean, I made speeches, I screamed and yelled that this is going to destroy medicine, triple the cost, everything I predicted. And it's funny because my wife, who's an off-and-on guest on the show, said to me, why are you sounding like Chicken Little? You make it sound like the roof's going to fall if they do this. And guess what it did? Because once the corporations had control, let's take a simple Coulter counter. None of you know what that is. But a Coulter counter looks like a simple IBM computer. You put blood in and it gives out something you guys know as a CBC, complete blood count. And it gives you all your basic cholesterol, et cetera, et cetera. That machine, to my knowledge, has not changed when I look at it in probably 40 years. It was overpriced 40 years ago, and my clients used to bitch and moan about that thing cost them. I think it was $25,000 in the 70s, which was ungodly high. Do you know how much that costs now? A couple $100,000 for the same machine that's totally unchanged. So what we have is a little problem here where basically unfettered capitalism, the same people you want to give some opportunity to run some of the things in our country, they're going to do the same. So if you change right now, if you change the system of delivery, major corporations will just simply adapt to it and steal. And until we do something to control the unbridled communism, which I consider corporate communism, because they all work together, they all meet privately. I saw it in all my years practicing law. They meet up at Murdoch's cabin in Sun Valley for the infamous annual meetings. There's enough collusion going on right now between major corporations on price fixing. You can't even keep up with it. So at the end of the day, How can you change anything when all these greedy guys are just going to move from one marketplace to the other and do the same stealing, dishonest conduct that you're talking about? So everything you say to me, I agree with you. But the reality is it doesn't happen that way in the real world. They just keep right on stealing, okay? So how are you going to stop the corporations? Let them run loose, John, the way you think we should? Because you believe in unbridled capitalism.
I don't know what you mean by unbridled, Manny. I don't believe
no
in overregulation.
No controls. The removal of the antitrust laws
that
were voted
in. That is ridiculous as saying you believe in total control. I mean, there has to be some control, but I would much rather have some board of businessmen deciding it than bureaucrats.
Uh-huh. Oh, and yet I hear all the Republicans complain about the so-called independent payment advisory board that has 15 members that would decide what would go on with the Affordable Care Act, which you guys like to call
Manny, let me
Obamacare.
Tell you, conservatives want to uplift the poor. We don't want to keep them down, throw them a few crumbs, let them stay in their urban blight and failed schools. I know how liberals think, and I'm not saying this about you or Simon, but a lot of liberals believe, let's just throw the poor some crumbs so they won't riot. Well, I got news for you guys. Like, I do agree with you, and one thing, Manny, it might come because the main difference between a dog and a man, if you save a dog from the streets and provide it with food and shelter, it won't bite you. Man will. So remember that by thinking you're going to throw people a few crumbs and they're going to be satisfied. It's not going to happen.
The crumbs aren't going to be there.
Yeah, but a hungry dog will bite you faster, John.
That's what I'm saying, Manny. If you feed it and provide it shelter, it won't bite you. They're grateful. People aren't.
People, and we live in a very, and man, you know, you say this, and we've all said it sometime, you know, we live in a very greedy, even those on the safety net, they're greedy. It's like entitlement nation, corporate entitlement.
Yeah, they don't feel any gratitude, Sam.
They what?
Like
no,
entitled.
They don't. They think that they just want someone to hand it to them. And Manny, I agree with you. I can't stand corporate welfare. I mean, that's right out of, you know, I really hate to say this. You guys are going to take me to task on this one. But, you know, you read out the shrug. That's what we're living in right now. And
Sam, let me ask you real quick. And this, you can ask a liberal this. I thought of it myself. And by their answer, you'll be able to tell. What do you call giving tax breaks to profitable corporations?
I call it corporate welfare.
Okay. That's the liberals' answer. I call it stimulus. What do you call giving failed corporations taxpayer money?
Stupid idea.
That's called stimulus to a liberal,
that's
not
bailout.
Corporate welfare. So just think about that.
Well, government's always been that way. What's up is down. What's down is up. We'll call it doublespeak. Right? I mean, really, you know, and I go back to my great college professors. I was lucky at Little Wittenberg University.
Sam, you're a closet liberal by that answer, by the way.
And I was brought up, we read Atlas Shrugged, we read Animal Farm, we read, 1984. And it is scary that some of these things that, you know, these authors wrote about, and there was about culture and economics and what happens when big corporations and big government are in total control. You know, you think, it's only a book, it's only a movie. But, Manny, I agree with you. We're living in that right now.
I agree. And that, to me, is the problem. And when you guys tell me how Paul Ryan is the answer, I don't see him as an answer.
I think Mitt Romney is
the
better than Obama. Because they're the presidents. They're not. Paul Ryan's not the president, he's the vice president. Yes, okay, I'm not, so I have to go with that. I think Romney... I read this a very good book about him. It's called it was done by the Boston Globe reporters who knew him better than anybody. It exposed a lot of his flaws. Talks about Mormonism, which is another thing that the poor guy's going to get whacked over the head with in the next couple months from the.
If you've lived around Mormons as I have, you'll find there's good reason to whack them. They deserve it.
Okay, I don't know any of them, but I know that's going to happen. I don't like to hold people's religions or their skin color or their sexual orientation against them. A person is a person to me. If you're good, you're good. If you're bad, you're bad. I think because of his being a businessman, and there's a big difference between Mitt Romney, Bain Capital, and John Corzine at Goldman Sachs, by the way. Okay, people with Mitt Romney, while Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers and all those other Wall Street wonders were screwing people with mortgage-backed securities, credit swap defaults, and all that, Mitt Romney was investing in Staples. Mitt Romney was investing in other things and companies and, you know, that. And a big difference. Did he make money? Is he a venture capitalist and all that sort of stuff? Yes, as people have that right to do. Okay, but he was not the Goldman Sachs type Wall Street guy. And there's a big difference between those companies. Give me Mitt Romney over Hank Paulson and Timmy Geithner and Ben Bernanke any day of the week.
Okay. One question. It's a simple question. Did Romney give jobs outside of the country, or did he keep it inside?
There's a loaded question. You know, that is a big issue to many people, and I don't, you know, the bottom line to all of it is he was a businessman, and he did what was best for his business. And what was best for his business was essentially to ship things out. Is that his fault? No. The world presented him an opportunity to get free labor, and very few people I know could turn that down, and very few businessmen I know would. There is the problem. And the problem is we're not competitive on a worldwide basis because other countries have no regard for the human condition and run countries that are essentially sweatshops, nothing else but sweatshops. So you tell me, guys, what do you do? In his case, I understand. You've got to go abroad. But at the same time, he handled a great many of these issues, I thought, very, very poorly. And he handles them very poorly in defending him. You might as well get up and admit the economy was and business was so bad, he didn't really have a choice. But he doesn't. He tries to downplay his income. I know he made a lot of money. Good for him. He deserves it. He worked hard for it. But he hides it as if he's done something wrong. You should be proud of it. Does anyone disagree with me?
No, I totally
Manny, I had a question for you real quick on another subject. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. What's soy lecithin?
Soy lecithin.
Soy is a derivative of soy. It's created in a lab, and the main purpose of soy lecithin is to hide MSG. And
is it good for you?
No. Lecithin is good for you if you take it in a natural form, and it comes from a natural source. But the soy lecithin sold in the store is a mechanism to hide MSG and not report the use of MSG.
Well, no, it's in a Snickers bar.
Well, then I can tell you, if you've ever seen our shows, there's nothing more dangerous to your health than a candy bar these days.
Okay. I know when I'm being snookered. I asked a simple question, so I'm going to go to the person that has the cleanest answers. Okay, you know who you are.
Uh-oh, Peter, you're in trouble.
Well, I agree with what Manny said, basically. Whatever he did, and he did it as a businessman trying to make money. It's my understanding that he invested in companies that outsourced. So what does that mean? I think we all invest in, if you have mutual funds, you invest in companies that outsource. I think every company outsources. I can't call customer service. And I mean, I get outsourced every single time. I always think it's funny. I like to find out where my customer service telephone reps are headquartered. You know, where are you? So I just think he did what all businesses do. I don't know why there would be I don't know why he wouldn't want to just come out and say that.
Right. And that really is the key issue here. It's the way that companies work. So why not just say, yeah, this is what we did. But he would rather hide behind a hedge. Yoo-hoo.
Hey, Simon, do you know what percent of GM workers are offshore?
Oh, I have no clue.
About 75%.
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
75%.
Yep. That's right.
So I don't hear you talking about that. That's now. Why are you talking about what could happen with Romney? Isn't that appalling?
Talk
we bailed
fourth,
that company out. 75% of the
workforce.
Obama
and the Democrats screwed GM stockholders.
75% of their workforce isn't
in Delphi,
this
country. And the Delphi retirees don't get diddly squat.
Well,
yeah, no one talks about that, but they talk about outsourcing out of that. That GM bank, and believe me, I'm in ground zero for GM, okay? We're the largest plant. You know, they act like there's 50,000 people working at this plant. It's
the whole company's been outsourced.
Right,
it's,
I agree with
appalling.
You. And that's why it's a failure, and the United States has lost, I think the taxpayers are on the hook for $85 billion right now. And by the way, all the workers got a $7,500 bonus. And I know there's people. I know people who come to my bar who tell me that they're eating dog food. Older people who lost their pensions at Delphi and whatnot. You know, and it's sad. Okay, and it's sad. My problem is I actually care. I feel about these little people. I try to help them out and whatnot.
Right.
And that. And I see that on one hand, I see these GM workers come in with a $7,500 bonus, which is our money to everybody, and they haven't paid back their loans yet. Like this isn't like Lee Iacocca in Chrysler. This is terrible. And
mm-hmm.
then people who worked at Delphi, which was an offshoot of GM, didn't get anything. They got screwed by Obama and all the people that they're involved. And that's another thing about the Obama administration.
But, Sam, they're bailed out and they build these factories in Mexico and China. It's really sick.
Well, I know they should have, but they should have done that. That wouldn't have happened if they would have been in a normal bankruptcy.
Right.
Is my understanding. It was a phony baloney bankruptcy to save the auto union.
They lied to the American people, yeah.
Yeah, and they would.
And Simon didn't
terrible.
Even know that. What's
you know
up,
what?
Simon? You're a journalist.
You know what, guys, though? It was upheld by the Supreme Court. I know some of the small stakeholders, the Delphi people, they actually got it up to the Supreme Court, and they were defeated because no one wanted to see what was really going to happen if it did. It's too bad that the Supreme Court's in bed with the that the court system's in bed with the corporations that Manny and I both rally against, and they own the politicians. And all we can do is hope that us talking to people out there and whatnot, that the revolution takes place.
Okay, I have to get Peter back in this conversation.
Oh, I'm in it. I'm listening intently.
Are the Supreme Court causing the problem here?
Hold yourself back, Peter.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Is there a question there? What exactly is the issue now?
Oh, well, the Supreme Court apparently are responsible for all of the failure of the car manufacturing.
Oh, no, I didn't say that, Simon. I said that they have people took the bankruptcy exception to the way the bankruptcy was being handled. These are small stock bondholders, the little guys.
Retirees.
Get screwed. They took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled against them and in favor of the managed bankruptcy, I think was the term
right.
they used.
Yeah, I can't see the Supreme Court wanting to get involved in how bankruptcy courts are managed and decisions that legislatures and governments make to do bailouts. So I don't think it's so much the Supreme Court ruling against anybody. It's just the Supreme Court saying, look, that's not what we do. We don't get involved in this kind of stuff. I don't know the particulars about the appeal and what was being raised, but the Supreme Court would typically decline something like that on the grounds that, we don't legislate, we don't make policies for implementation, and that's something that other branches of the government should handle.
Manny, do you want to espouse on this subject?
Yeah, I agree with Peter. That what bothers me about this Supreme Court is it picks and chooses those times in such a strange way, and that bothers me about them. But no, the real problem with the Supreme Court is at least two members come from our former representatives of, say, lawyers from Monsanto, for example. And I just think that it is not a very good Supreme Court, where the basis of the Supreme Court is so rooted in the business interest. So what happens is, depending on which corporation's involved, whose interest is involved, they pick and choose when they want to participate. And if you look at their track record, it's pretty irregular. In terms of their rulings, the only consistent thing about them is their inconsistency. But I want to come back to the basics of where you are, Sam. Because you know, you and I, as we joke, don't disagree on our opinions of this. We disagree with the solutions. And I don't care much about what goes on with Paul Ryan and the rest of them because he's not a solution. And as I said, every time I hear all of you try to champion why he's the solution, I come back to the same thing. Any solution in our country right now requires a change in the manner in which we handle Congress and finance our institutions. And until we change that, we are not going to make any progress. So you can bring Paul Ryan in with the best of intentions, and he will fail the way Obama has failed to deliver his promises, because he has the same limitations as Obama, and he has no greater chance of overcoming them than Obama. And maybe that doesn't give you the level of hope you want, but I deal with the truth, not hope, and that's the truth. And I think that Peter's point is much the same way. Our problems with our government go to the very core of it, and we're going through a period in our history where we're going to adjust the laws of the land. And by the way, the definition of the law when you go to law school is it's a reflection of the social time. So the problems with our law now reflect our difficult social time. And the only way to change it, of course, is to make a change in that law. And without it, we're just going to flounder and just go on and on like this for a long, long time. So I'm in trap.
Obviously, I have to...
And I hope that's not an editorial opinion in the background.
Obviously, I have to invite Peter. Any thoughts?
No, I essentially agree. Whatever the problems are, they're deeply rooted in our government, in our current laws, and in human nature. And one of the things we haven't talked about, or we've only tangentially mentioned it, is that you know there's a theme of greed that runs through all humanity. And it's an unfortunate problem that we always have to deal with it, and I'm not sure that anyone is immune from it. And the simple fact of the matter is, the more people you have, the more greedy impulses there are. And they will always be a problem. In fact, they're probably going to get worse before they get better. And I honestly have no idea how we counteract that, and I don't know, and that's not has nothing to do with party affiliation. That's just a fundamental fact of life, I'm afraid.
So you have no idea.
All right, whoever's washing the dishes needs to stop.
I was wondering what that was.
In the background.
It is probably John.
It's nice background like sleeping music.
Say again?
It sounds like nice background sleeping music, like something, a sound machine, like
it's
instead of waterfall
pond.
Mode. And,
it's yeah. My goldfish pond.
It's beautiful.
You like it? It took me all summer to clean it out and get it going, and I'm kind of sitting on the in my backyard right now.
Well, there you go.
It would have a calming effect on all of us as the show comes to an end.
I liked it.
You know, we have a rule, Sam, that nobody is allowed to enjoy themselves on the show.
Right. I mean, even John has.
I violate that on a daily basis.
And he doesn't. He doesn't open his Snickers bar on air.
That's my trademark.
So, you know, back to the basic point here. You know, I want to come back to something that started with, you know, with Peter on this, is the concept of what we have is a situation where, you know, we have a nominee that basically has a background of being anti-abortion, anti-everything else. And the question is whether he can be elected to an office in the United States right now when he can't appeal to most of these groups. And by the way, I must tell you, one of my upsets is I just, in my lifetime, have seen so many of these groups grow and our country being really controlled by what I would call special interest groups. That only gets worse and worse and worse in my lifetime, and I'm sure there are others who agree with me. And
yeah.
at some point, we have to find some way to do it. And I'll pass the baton with this comment that my father used to say from his British education: "Never shall the rights of man exceed man himself." And I think we've reached a situation where quite frequently the rights of some individuals trump the rights of the rest of society. If we need this. Seriously, re-examine that.
Okay.
Bar, John.
Well, I'm pretty certain that John has decided to open up a pack of ramen noodles.
No, I guess Snickers bar being opened up too.
Hardly.
Oh, John.
We're giving new meaning to the expression "food for thought" today.
Which is often as food for John. So anyway, anyone else have any feelings about that?
Yeah, I'll say why I'm supporting Paul Ryan real quick, because I'm really excited about it. Like a lot of other people that you guys tend to criticize, he has a... Is that your pond again, Sam?
No. I thought that was you opening up a giant Snickers bar.
No, I already ate it. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I thought
Paul
it was
Ryan,
one of the jumbo ones from the movie theaters.
That's the size of my mouth. Paul Ryan has the capacity to outrage the establishment. I admire that in anyone. Whenever, like, the brightest minds or the media-recognized smartest people in the room are in agreement on any issue, I'm instinctively skeptical because I don't want to conform to their ideology just out of general principle, and there's always unexpected or unintended consequences on the horizon that they fail to see, usually in plain view. And I like to say about people who tend to just follow the Barney Franks of the world, just try to think for yourself, and even if you're not sure that 99 people tell you something's a certain way, try to just exercise some independent thought and ask yourself, what if that's not true? Who's the joke on? So that's the way I like to think. And like Manny, and I would even say you, Simon, at least if you lack a certain amount of confidence, at least portray that you have the knowing air of someone who can't be deceived, even if it's not true.
John, I love sparring with you.
You can imagine how our lunches go.
Simon, I think this was the first show I went without insulting you once.
So
I'm going to stop there and listen to you guys.
I mean, you know, we have 2 minutes left. You can get a poke in there.
No, Simon, I'm gonna do something original and not say anything, and I'll let you guys talk, and it's been a pleasure.
John,
how about you?
It
was
always wonderful talking to you.
Okay, Sam, you have any final comments?
Thanks for the opportunity. I love it. I love talking politics with you guys because it's basically four people from four different areas, and I think we basically have common ground, even though we come from various backgrounds and whatnot, and we respect each other's opinions, and we, I think we all know we want to see change, but we're also realist enough to know that it's going to take a long time to happen, but it better happen. And I think Ryan and I think Paul Ryan has brought some issues to the forefront that haven't been discussed. I was getting really turned off by the Romney Killed My Wife ad and the stuff that I've been hearing. So just now that the landscape shifted a little to talks about Medicaid and Medicare, and that's a good thing. And, you know, maybe it was just a one-hit wonder for a week. But I really think that he's been for that. And I'm going to end on this note. I love the fact he went to Miami of Ohio, not Harvard, not Yale, not Princeton or any of those other places, and that's an important thing to me.
Well, I have two relatives who graduated from Miami of Ohio, now known only as the University of Miami, and it's a terrific school, but I'm not sure his politics fit with the general flow of that school. It's kind of interesting. He seems like a maverick for a grad from that school.
Yeah, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, terrific school, though.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific school. Go ahead. Are you really passing, John? I mean, are you well?
Well, Manny, if you insist, I can always come up with something.
I don't know if I'm daring.
All right, I'm going to give you some advice, Simon. As a talk show host, I want you to remember this because it's going to help your career.
Okay.
If you don't have independent creative ideas of your own, you have to become an adept and attentive listener, which you are becoming because you listen to me. That way, you'll be able to formulate and construct other people's ideas into lucid and coherent arguments, and you'll sound like me and Manny.
You read that on a fortune cookie, I could tell.
No,
Manny,
you're right.
It's really affecting his brain.
No, Simon inspires me. I don't know. It just... just comes out. I wasn't even going to say anything, but Manny made me. You know you did, Manny. I was probably one of, but it might help your career in all seriousness, Simon.
Right.
We're worried about you, Simon. I'm going to end the show with this comment. We're trying to provide a spirited discussion of the merits of the respective sides. As I joke, I can go one way or another in this. And I can support ideas and a Republican, Democratic. I listen to Sam, whose views are not unlike mine, but he has a slightly different solution. And I listen to John, whose views we're all still trying to understand. And John even has some slightly different solutions to offer. And that's what's going on in our country. We have major issues that need solutions. It's important that everyone knows.
Okay. I have to ask Peter to wrap the program up. Peter, you are a good friend. You listen to all of our nonsense. What have you got to say?
All I keep thinking of is that on the back of a dollar bill it says, "In God we trust," and I think that couldn't be more appropriate because God help us all. We're all going to need a lot of help. Everyone, and I mean that in the best and nicest of ways.
Good point.
Hey, Simon, can I say one last thing?
Oh, if you must.
As an optimist, and Sam, remember this: there's two good scenarios when a Democrat's elected. The media is respectful to our troops, and the news is a lot more entertaining to watch. So be an optimist.
All right. We'll be back next Sunday. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.